Hey, Horace, give us 3 shots of your best bourbon. And have that Russian waiter I like bring it over.
Hello, hello, hello. My name is Russian Tim, and I'm the host of weekly punk rock radio show called Rocket from Russia. Tune into CITR 101.9 FM every Thursday from 10 to 11 a.m. And you can also find the podcast on CITR.ca, iTunes, and my blog, rocketfromrussia.tumblr.com. Hello, 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 you're listening to the radio station CITR on 101.9 FM in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. This is weekly punk rock radio show called Rocket from Russia. My name is Russian Tim and welcome to this radio show, my friends. It's 10 o'clock right now in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. 10 a.m. if I'd like to be correct. We just heard a song by the band called Bad Religion from their great album called Generator, and that was a song called No Direction. And the reason is pretty obvious. I played Bad Religion today because they played a brilliant show this Saturday. If you were present at that show on Saturday, you know what I'm talking about. That was a great show. At this show there were 2 opening bands, the Bronx and Polar Bear Club. Both bands were very good, and I got a chance to talk to Polar Bear Club, and we will hear this interview today on the show. Also, I have planned for you in the end of the show to get you introduced to the new 7-inch from the local band called The Ballantines. Their new 7-inch is out, and tomorrow they are playing a release party for the 7-inch, two awesome new songs by the local soul masters of The Ballantines, and tomorrow you can see them at the Cobalt. But let's start with Polar Bear Club, a band which I will play you later an interview with, and I just want you to get a little bit more familiar with their music if you haven't heard them before, or if you just saw them at the show for the first time in your life. They're a very good band, in my opinion, and I'd like you to play two songs by them so you get a little bit more familiar. And we'll start with their song from their second studio album called Chase in Hamburg, and the name of the song is Living Saints. So this is Polar Bear Club, and you're listening to CITR Rocket from Russia.
Hello, my name is Jimmy from the band Polar Bear Club, and you're listening to Rocket from Russia on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
Most of the night he starts us to our five. We
life. Just listen to me.
Hello, 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 you are listening to the radio station CITR on 101.9 FM in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. This is weekly punk rock show Rocket from Russia, and we are broadcasting from UBC in Vancouver, broadcasting live. And also, I just want to say a big shout out and big thank you to all my friends who are listening right now, who are tweeting at me, who are calling. That's awesome that people are listening. It makes me happy, and it makes me think that, you know, good that, you know, makes me, yeah, happy and good that I'm doing this this excitement here on CITR. Thank you, friends. Thanks for listening, and thanks for tuning in. We just heard two songs by the band called Polar Bear Club. The last song was called Screamin' Caves from their last studio album called Clash Battle Guild Pride. And before that, we heard Living Saints from their second studio album called Chasing Hamburg. If you're not very familiar with Polar Bear Club, they are the band from Rochester, New York. And they're a relatively young band. They started in the middle of 2000s, around 2005. And they've been playing constantly. They are always on tour, and the band has a very good live performance in terms of they're always very energetic. Their frontman and singer Jimmy is very good frontman in terms of his being on stage, singing, and, you know, doing performance, and doing not too much performance, doing punk rock enough performance, if I may. Alright, let's tune in, let's check out my first part of our interview. They've been on tour with Bad Religion for quite some time, and in the first part of interview, I just wanted to see his relationship, what for a young guy, how it is being on tour with such a legendary band as Bad Religion. So we talked a little bit about that. So let's check it out, the first part of my interview with Jimmy of Polar Bear Club. Welcome to Vancouver, British Columbia. Thank you so much for Brilliant Scent. That was unbelievable. Your energy, as always, top-notch. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Polar Bear Club is the band which is constantly on the road. And in your previous interviews, I read that you sometimes you go on the tour with bands which are not necessarily your fan of.
Yeah.
Like, you respect them as colleagues, as musicians, but
yeah,
you don't have their all albums.
True.
I bet this time it was different.
Very different, yeah. Super different. This is like one of the coolest tours and one of the most excitable tours we've done in some time. I mean, this was like, we got offered this tour and it just was a complete no-brainer. We moved all this stuff around. We were like, we'll do anything to make this tour work, and we're very thankful that it did.
I know that out of all punk scene, Pennywise Unknown Road is probably your the most influential straight up punk rock album growing up. What was your connection with Bad Religion growing up?
I didn't get into Bad Religion until a little bit later. I think, of course, everyone knows about Bad Religion, but getting into like Pennywise first was a little strange, because especially being from the East Coast, because they were kind of similar when you were younger. I mean, when you grow up and you listen to it more, you hear the difference, you know what I mean? But this sort of like California nuances in skate punk or fast punk was a little bit lost on 15-year-old New York boy myself. So I got into it a little bit later on. I mean, really into punk at like 15, 16. But I probably didn't start listening to Bad Religion until I was in college, like 19 or 20. So it was a little bit more of an intellectual choice than like that young, just blowing my mind, melting my brain. Like, I'd never heard anything like this. It was more like, oh, this is good. I'm going to start liking this now and start going back and getting into it sort of backwardsly, as you do sometimes with bands.
Exactly. For me, it was exactly the same, because It was not the band which I, you know, kind of grew up listening.
Yeah.
I got to do them over time, and like then I realized how influential they are.
Our drummer is the exact opposite. He was so obsessed when he was younger. I mean, they are probably his favorite band of all time. So I mean, hands down.
Imagine this tour for him.
Yeah, and then I don't know if you heard about how he was playing drums with them.
No, I didn't.
So their drummer had to leave the tour for a week with a family emergency, and they asked our drummer to play. And so they went to him and they said, well, we're thinking about doing a half acoustic set. Do you think you could play 6 or 7 songs? And he said, hands down, I can play your whole set back to front and more and then some. And so he did, and he fucking nailed it, man. He killed it. Like, he learned how to play drums on Bad Religion songs. I mean, he has a bunch of Bad Religion tattoos. They're his favorite band of all time, and he got to play drums with them for a week. Like, it was one of the craziest things that's ever happened to us as a band. And I know for him, when we got offered the tour, he was like ecstatic. And then now he's playing in the band. You know, it's like, it was a really big deal for him.
3 years ago, we did a cover of Bad Religion's version, Better of Dead, for the tribute album, Journeys of Perfection. And when you were in studio doing a version of Black Flag's TV party for Repo Man tribute, you were wondering and joking around if Henry Rollins will actually like this version. Did you get a chance to find out if Bad Religion guys like your version of Better of Dead, being on tour with them?
I never asked them on this tour, but I did hear through the grapevine when it first went out, that they did like it.
Nice.
And that I think Brett was particularly fond of it, because that's, I believe, a song that Brett wrote. And we kind of picked it because of that, because it was like one of the more emotional Bad Religion songs. We liked that. So we're like, cool, like maybe no one will do this, and no one did. So, but I did sort of hear through the grapevine that they were into it, but we haven't brought it up yet here on tour. I don't know, I feel weird, like,
yeah, you know. Yeah, we did a great version of your song, so what do you think?
Yeah. They don't play that song live though, which is interesting, but it's a great song. We pretty much, when we were doing that, we couldn't decide, so we put 3 songs in a hat and pulled that one out. I can't remember. I know one of them was Fertile Crescent, but I can't remember what the third one was. I can't remember what it was, but I think it worked out well that we ended up going with that one.
Yeah.
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the radio station CITR. This is punk rock radio show called Rocket from Russia. And we just heard the Polar Bear Club's version of Bad Religious song called Better of Dead. And in my opinion, that's a very, very good version. I really like how the band did this version. Sounds good. Like, first of all, it's a brilliant song in the original version, but Polar Bear Club did a pretty good job, in my opinion. Let's move on. Let's move on to the second part of my interview with Jimmy of the band. Overall, I'm really happy how this interview turned out. When I was getting ready, I was listening to a lot of his interviews, and I was really respectful to him, how he always is passionate about what he's talking about. And like, you know, when they ask the same questions all the time, and he still answers it passionately every time, and I have a lot of respect for this guy, just because why he's doing that with all those interviews. He's doing it for the fans, and you know, he just wants to tell the story every time. And like, I really respect him for you know, for how he was, how he's always passionate in the interviews, and he like honestly interested in what he's talking about, not tired of telling the same story for a few times. All right, let's move on. Let's second part of the interview with Jimmy of the Polar Bear Club. Let's check it out. Speaking of growing up and being a fan of music, and you know, you mentioned that you are from Rochester, New York. Could you please tell what is the importance of Veterans of Foreign War USA Hall?
Oh, like a VFW hall.
Yeah, exactly. For you growing up.
I mean, that was what I had been to a concert before. You know, I think I went to my first concert when I was 15 or 16.
Blink-182 Primus.
That's right. You've done your research. Or maybe I've just talked about it a million times. But I didn't go to a show until I went. I just ended up, someone was like, there's this thing at this VFW hall. And I was like, I don't even know what this means, you know. And so I went and I saw a bunch of bands. I think the one that stuck out the most, though, was this local band called Standfast. And they were just this hardcore band, so an early 2000s, late 90s sounding hardcore band. You know, kind of weird, yeah, goofy, moshy, with like a lot of guitar octaves, but really passionate and heartfelt. And to see that, like a band I'd never heard of, and all like a small group of people going crazy. Because in your head, you think of concerts as like a lot of people going nuts, and it's like a riot, and it's like Metallica or like Rage Against the Machine. You see all these people in your head, and then to see like 20 people in a room acting like they were at a concert like that, acting like it was, you know, just going nuts, piling on each other, screaming along to the words. I didn't know that was possible, that it was possible to like have something on a local DIY level like that. So the first time I saw it, it's just that feeling. I mean, you've had it, I'm sure, that feeling of just like, I didn't know who I was until right now. And now I know, and it's me forever. You know, that just, it's in your bones, you know what I mean? That was the significance of the VFW Hall. And then I went the next week again to a really different show. It was the Weaker Thans and Elliot, a co-headline in the VFW Hall. And I sort of joke that the spectrum in between those first two shows I ever went to is exactly my musical upbringing. Just in between like the Snapcase style hardcore, even like metalcore bands were playing, to like Weaker Thans and Elliot and everything in between. And that it was the same place, the same people, all singing along in the same way. It just clicked. It was like, oh, it's all the same. And it's great.
I remember in one of the interviews you said that probably because of that experience that your favorite bands, Jimmy the World, Saves the Day, Replacements, Elvis Costello, yeah, they bridge the gap, and that's why you like them. And that's probably why you're influenced by...
Hands down, definitely. I mean, that just to see, I mean, when you're a kid, you think of things in like sections, you know, you try to identify with a sect or a niche or whatever. You think like, oh, I'm this type of person, so I could never like this type of stuff over here. So to see these types of people that I thought were one way, liking the stuff that was over here that I thought you couldn't put in the same sentence together. Those were the bands I got really interested in. The bands that were universal across the groups, the bands that everyone seemed to like no matter what they identified with. You know, maybe they called them guilty pleasures because they were too, you know, I guess self-conscious about identifying with them fully. But I always was interested in what it was about those bands that made everyone like them, and it was just heartfelt, good songwriting. And so I think very early on, I just got interested in capturing that, you know, like not capturing something you can't really sit down and plan out, but if you do what you do in an honest, passionate, and positive way, it's going to bridge gaps. It's going to do that. And I learned that from all those bands and those VFW shows, and that's what I liked about those bands, and that's what influenced Polar Bear Club to a T. I mean, you could describe Polar Bear Club in a lot of different ways, you know, but a lot of different type of people like our band, and even if they don't like love it or they're not obsessed with it, we get this so much where people come up to us, weird people, like so many different types of people, come up to us after a show like this and they say, "I never heard you before and I don't really like bands like you, but I really like you guys and I like what you did tonight." And it's just honesty and passion and positivity. That's all it is. And delivered that way. And that's how you get it to people, and then hopefully they take it home and they look at the lyrics and they're like, "Oh, cool, cool, cool." But if you wear it in that way, you can really do some good stuff. The song will become the anthem of your underground.
Chris Brown, you're crazy.
You two floors down, getting high in the back room. If I flooded out your house, do you think you'd make it out? Would you burn up before the water filled your lungs? And at your funeral, I will sing the requiem. This song will become your underground. It's two floors down, getting high in the back row. If I find it at your house, do you think you'd make it out? Would you burn up before the water filled your lungs? And at your funeral, I will sing the requiem. And I'll offer you my hand. It would hurt too much to watch you die. And you can bet when we mourn the death of you that night. Lay me on the dinner table, I will be the bait with the apple in my mouth, the food that celebrates your end. Yeah. Watch you die. And at your funeral, I will sing the requiem. I'll offer you my hand. It would hurt too much to watch you die. for saves the day, huh?
I also want to... Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the radio station CITR on 101.9 FM in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. This is weekly punk rock radio show called Rocket from Russia. And we just heard an acoustic version of the songs At Your Funeral, which was originally recorded by Saves the Day by Polar Bear Club, from their album, live acoustic album, which they released last year called Live at the Montage. All right, let's move on to the last part of my interview with Jimmy of the Polar Bear Club, and then I will play you some exciting stuff by the local band called The Ballantines. Bye for now, the last part of my interview with Jimmy of the Polar Bear Club. I also, when I was getting ready to the interview, I figured out that you are masters of promo photos. There are two specific photos that stand out.
No.
The one about when you're on skates, and the one where you're about to destroy the opponent's team in the game of squash.
Yes.
Could you please tell the story of those two? Is it really in Syracuse?
It is, yeah. It's an ice rink in Syracuse. It's so weird because it was so long. That was very long ago. And that was probably 2006 or 2007, yeah, maybe. And I think, like, I'm not trying to say, like, we started a trend or pioneered anything, but I don't think we would do photos like that anymore. Because I feel like back then, it was like, you could look at a photo like that and you could be like, oh, this might be like a cool punk band or something. But now it's like, those are the types of photos that, like, lame bands do now, you know? So I look back at them, and I'm like, oh, God, you know, why did we do that? Why did we, like, do that, like, lame type of band photo? But back then, it was, like, it wasn't being done quite as much, like, sort of lighthearted. We were sort of rebelling against the lame band photo of the time, which was, like, the, you know, the just super serious, like, swoopy hair, sort of, like, tough guy or just like serious rocker guy. And we said, fuck that, we want to do
fun,
we want to have fun with it. But now it's switched a little bit where it's like fun photos are now what the lame bands are doing. But back then, I mean, it was just we were trying to send a message that we didn't take that stuff seriously. We took seriously the music and the show. But all the extra stuff, all the add-ons or the noise, we didn't take that seriously. That was fun to us. But when you saw us play or you listened to our record, it was very serious. To us, at least, you know. And we took it seriously. We had great respect for it. But that's changed. It's kind of weird to think about. That was really the only reason why. Just to have fun and rebel against the people who took themselves too seriously in the wrong places. People who, their bands sucked, but their photos were amazing. You know? We wanted to be the opposite. We wanted our photos to fucking suck, and we wanted our band to be something that to speak of.
Yeah, it's funny because it still comes up. Like, I just today in the morning I googled your band name. First of all, there's a whole bunch of naked old people.
Yeah,
you guys, and then you and skates. Yeah. Still comes up on the first page in Google.
It never goes away.
Yeah.
It never goes away. I don't know how you can fix that, but we're stuck with it now, you know.
All right. And the last question. I know that you're a huge movie geek, and I know that you know a lot of obscure movies. What could you tell me about the movie called The Next Good One?
The Next Good One? Oh my God, you've done your research, man. That was a movie that... I have a friend, his name's Joe Lewis, and he lives in Chicago, and he is a filmmaker. When we were in high school, we used to just make movies together, me and Joe and his brother John. God, we made so many movies together. And The Next Good One was kind of like his first bigger deal movie. You know, it wasn't a big thing, you know, in any mainstream sense of the word. But it was full-scale independent movie production. We worked on this thing so hard. I mean, this was filmed in Rochester in the winter of... 2000 and...
The release date, 2005.
Okay, so it must have been filmed in 2003 or 4 or something. On record, like, the worst winter in Rochester decades.
I was wondering how you like in just one hoodie.
Yeah.
You're hanging out in snow.
I was like, I had like all these layers on under the hoodie, and I had those like hand warmers, those chemical hand warmers, like in the gloves and stuff, because we were out there like that for, I mean, 14-hour days, you know. And this was just some kids on break from school, like just making a movie. I haven't watched it in a long time, so I can't. I don't, and I'm very like self-conscious about that sort of thing. So it's interesting, I'm sure. But he's made some movies since then too. He made a movie called Tyler Be Nice. He's working on a movie now. Oh, he made a movie called Scum Babies, and he's working on a movie now called Sci-Fi Soul. And they're all incredibly interesting, well-crafted films like you have never seen before. But the next good one was his first, and
it's still available on the internet.
Is it?
It's on Vimeo.
Oh my god, that's so crazy. That's insane. I'm so embarrassed because that was like, I mean, that was 10 years ago.
Yeah, 10 years.
It's so crazy to say that. But yeah.
Yeah, and like when you were talking about the, you know, being in snow for so long, I remember that you said that you prefer the plays over the movies being as an actor.
That might be why, yeah.
Because now I understand, like, being in snow for, like, hours, just, like, hour and a half in the theater and you're done.
Yeah. Well, that also, it's also, like, plays are like an actor's medium, where film is like a director's and writer's medium. Because it's like, as an actor working on a film, you sit there for 3 hours, and then you do something for 5 minutes, and then you sit there for 3 hours, and you do something for 10 minutes, and then, so on and so forth. But a play is like fluid, you know? It's like you're acting it
like a show.
Like it's being seen, you know? It starts and finishes, whereas a movie is all out of context and stop and go and stop and go. But I mean, as an audience member, I absolutely love movies. I mean, they are like,
I know you're talking about movies.
Yeah,
crazy.
I can't start because you'll run out of battery if we start talking about movies. But yeah, I just think that they are, because Roger Ebert just passed away, and if you watch his interview with Charlie Rose from like 10 or 15 years ago, he talks about why he loves movies so much, and you can go and watch that and you'll know why I love them so much. I'll spare you the essay.
Okay, thank you so much for the interview. Thanks
for
the great set.
It was great.
Thank you.
Hello. So that was my interview with Jimmy of the band called Polar Bear Club. I think it turned out a very good interview. He is an extremely interesting person to talk to, and also I like the band, so it was a great, I think it turned out a really good interview. It's a nice conversation. Hope you enjoyed that as well as much as I did. Let's move on, and as I promised, the Ballantines, they have a brand new 7-inch local band, Soul Amazing Humans, the Ballantines. The beautiful Ballantines. They have a brand new 7-inch on Latida Records, and I would like you to play a first song of this 7-inch called Faith. Let's check it out. This is a brand new band, a brand new song from the Ballantines from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada on CITR.
Take my place.
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the radio station CITR on 101.9 FM in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And we heard amazing local band called The Ballantine, Soul King, Soul Masters. And that was the brand new song called Faith of their brand new 7-inch, which came out on Latida Records and will be available tomorrow at the show at the Cobalt for sale. And I have on the line the beautiful, the amazing, the organ breaker, the legendary Soul Master, Jared from the band The Ballantines. Welcome to the show, my friend, and thank you so much for finding time to talk to me.
My absolute pleasure, sir. How are you, handsome?
I'm brilliant, and I'm how the hell are you?
I'm good, man. I'm real good. I'm just hanging around. You will probably hear two little 2-year-old monkeys. My sons are kicking around, spilling milk on the floor, and eating crackers and being goofballs. So they'll be extra special guests on our phone call, probably.
Yeah, we have a good company here on the phone call. All right. So you just got back from your American tour. How many organs have you broke, and how was the tour?
I managed to only break the power cord, the ground on both my Hammond and on my twin. So I didn't actually kill any organs.
Wow.
But I did end up electrocuting myself mildly for a few days near the tail end of the tour. So, you know, I still put some good, terrible work in.
Now, that's your style, and I see the progress. Zero organs broken. This is great result for the tour.
I know, this is kind of amazing. I think it's the first.
Congratulations. Achievement.
I'm impressed.
Overall, how I saw the tour dates, and I saw you play with so many amazing bands on this tour. That was like every show on the tour was brilliant.
Oh man, we had so much fun. There's just too many great bands we played with. It was an absolute blast. We were pretty lucky this time around that, you know, timing worked out, and we started hustling pretty early to try and get specific bands, and you know, it's like, okay, we want to come to your town and play with you. So, and people were pretty stoked, and were, you know, nice enough to, you know, put us up and play with us, and it's awesome.
You know, being a Canadian band, soul band, a relatively new band, but you have a lot of friends and a lot of connections on the West Coast in the United States. How were, you know, were there a lot of new people at the shows, people who were just discovering you, or have you mostly been fans at the shows?
You know, this time around, definitely like a lot of new people. It was nice. This is our second time down the West Coast. We went last summer, and so we hit some of the cities that we've done before, and then they end up, you know, they were kind of like, we sort of building on things, which is really great, and having friends who, you know, we met the first time around. Yes, I know, that's very exciting, son. and then, so, you know, people were like, that we met the first time around, like, kind of put like forth a little bit of like extra effort, and you know, they end up, some of them like we met booked our show the second time around, which is just an awesome way for things to go.
Now, congratulations, this is awesome. So happy that, you know, that, because I think you deserve a national fame, and if you're on the way to that, I'm very excited.
I'll see you anytime.
New 7-inch, very exciting. Faith and Velvet, two new songs on Latida Records. 7-inch will be available tomorrow at the Cobalt. Few words about those two new songs.
Faith is basically the first foundation song written by Jen, and which is really exciting, and that we, you know, we got to showcase her. She's been really like bringing in a lot of really great writing, you know, and she hadn't really done that previous to being in this group, and so we thought it was, you know, an amazing song, and she put together, you know, it's great stuff. And then Velvet, I had a little bit of a part in musically, actually. Velvet, I wrote previous to the Ballantines even starting.
Wow.
And it's just something that we kind of bashed our heads against a wall for months and months and months and months and months. Nothing ever came of it, and then we just kind of abandoned it. And before I had like the demo on my old phone, and before, when I got my new phone, I was like, I should just listen to what's on there. And so I put it on and realized that I liked it, and still we had to do something with it. And then Vanessa sort of just ran with a really great lyrical idea, and her and I bounced back, and it finally came to life.
nice, yeah. We just heard the Faith, the first song, and after we finish talking, we'll hear this second amazing new old song called Velvet.
Yeah.
And tomorrow night at the Cobalt, you're releasing, that's a 7-inch release event, and I also saw on the Facebook page that Corey even posted the picture of those beautiful 7-inches. They will be available for sale tomorrow. New Values and Tough Age. This is a great opening bands you, Jared, Mister, have scored for the show.
Yeah, we're really excited about the bill. We think it's great.
Yeah, the bill is amazing. Plus, you have Tony of Needles and Pins doing the DJ set, which should sound very exciting as well.
Yeah.
All right. So tomorrow, the Ballantines are releasing their brand new 7-inch with New Values and Tough Age at the Cobalt. Come there to check to see all those three amazing bands play and see how Jared dances, performs, and acts amazingly on the stage, because this is worth seeing. And actually, it says here that it's free before 10:30 to get in. Is that true?
If that's what it says, I'm sure it's true.
Because if it's like that, I believe the Cobalt will be packed to death like a bus, like a 99 bus, which I took today in the morning.
Well, that's what I would love to hear. I would definitely love for everyone to come out, and certainly to come out and check out all the bands, check out Tough Age and New Values, and of course us, because that would be awesome. And yeah, it should be a really, really fun time. And we love the Cobalt dearly. You know, we have a song written about the damn place. So.
All right. Thank you so much for finding a few minutes to talk to me. I will see you tomorrow. And tomorrow, the Ballantines are playing at the Cobalt. Thank you so much, man.
Thank you, brother.
Thanks. Bye-bye. So that was Jared from the band The Ballantines. As I said earlier, they are playing tomorrow at the Cobalt Friday night. They're playing the New Values, Tough Age, and the headliners, The Ballantines. You will be able to purchase their brand new 7-inch. And let's check out the other song. And I'm not specifically not saying the B-side, because Jared earlier told me that they are just not doing any B-sides. All their songs are A-sides. So the second A-side from this brand new 7-inch, and this is the song called Velvet. This Jared talked about, saying that it's kind of an old song, but they did a new version of this song. So let's hear. This is the Ballantines with the song called Velvet. Let's enjoy the Ballantines.
Make sure you know that I'm aware. They do the
Hello, hello, hello. You are listening to the radio station CITR, and that was the weekly punk rock radio show called Rocket from Russia. We just heard a brand new song by the local band called The Ballantines. That was a song called Velvet. And The Ballantines are playing tomorrow the CD release party for their brand new 7-inch on Latida Records. And they are playing with New Values, amazing band. Just discovered them recently, and their new album is very good. Highly recommend. And Tough Age, never seen them live, but I listened to their Bandcamp page again. I think it's a good band. Should be a brilliant show tomorrow. I don't know, I'm currently on their Facebook page, and it says that it's free before 10:30 to get in. I'm not sure if that's what it means. Don't get me wrong if I'm saying something incorrect, but it says here on Facebook, always free before 10:30. So that could be a great time to way to spend the Friday night with three amazing local bands at the Cobalt. All right, thank you so much for listening. If you like what you heard, you can check out the podcast on CITR.ca, on my blog rocketfromrussia.tumblr.com, and also on them. iTunes. The episodes are available on iTunes, and shout out to all the podcast listeners. Happy hello, podcasters. And in order to finish the show, I would like to play another song by another band, which is playing in Vancouver the day after the Ballantines play. They're playing on Saturday, and this is the legendary Scatolites. The legendary Jamaican band is performing in Vancouver on April 20th at the Rickshaw Theater. The legends, the Scatolites. The most important, in my opinion, the most important reggae and ska music, because they started it all. The Scatolites. Obviously, not all the members will be playing tomorrow, not all the original members. Most of them unfortunately passed away. But Lester Sterling, who is the saxophonist player, he is in the current lineup, and he was in the very beginning. So it's an opportunity to see the legends tomorrow at the Rickshaw Theater. And so I think that's could be a very good weekend if you go tomorrow to the Cobalt to see the Ballantines, New Values, Tough Age, and then the day after you can go to Rickshaw to see the legendary Scatolites and the local band The Valuables, who are opening for them, and you can recover on Sunday. Okay, so I have here a PSA, a commercial for that radio for that upcoming Scatolite show, and then we hear the song by the Scatolites. Thank you so much for listening. That was weekly punk rock radio show called Rocket from Russia, Scatolites, April 20th. Let's hear it.
This 420, make sure you head down to the Rickshaw Theater for an awesome night of reggae and ska music featuring Jamaican pioneers the Scatolites, with guests the Valuables and Johnny and Corey from East Van Soul Club. Tickets are available right now for only $22 at live@rickshaw.com, Red Cat, Neptune, and Vinyl Records. Sponsored by CITR.
We'll be right back. Don't you put it in your mouth. Don't you put it in your mouth. Don't you stuff it in your face. Don't stuff it in your face. Though it might look good to eat. Though it might look good to eat. And it might look good to taste. And it might look good to taste. You could get sick. Yuck. Real.